And it made me feel like, I don't know, a little bit uncertain. And she looked at me and she's like, well, pray about it. And once again, I'm like, why can't you just give me the 1, 2, 3 steps to be able to make this happen? And then, but she was like, if it's for you, if it was meant for you to do it, everything will come together for it. The look on her face let me know. And then she told me, she was like, you know, I'm not going to be able to afford to do that, you know. And in comparison to the other many mission trips that I've taken, like, that was a very small amount, you know. But she knew that she probably wasn't going to be able to do it on her own. I began to do all the fundraisers, bake sales, all those types of things to save up the money to be able to go on to this mission trip. And as a final payment, as the time came for the final payment, there was like $200 left that I needed. So I went to my mom and I'm like, okay, I've almost done it. I almost got all of the money together. And she looked at me and kind of shook her head like, I told you, you know, that I wasn't going to be able to afford it. But she said, if God told you you're supposed to do it, if it's his will for you to do it, pray about it once again. And, you know, if it was for you, it'll happen. I stopped and thought to myself, like, I've done all this work. I've washed cars. I've baked things. I have, you know, done the fundraisers. I don't know. We may have sold chocolate. We may have sold, I don't know, probably sold a lot of things in order to get that. Everything wasn't coming together, so I went back to her, and I'm like, well, Mom, you said pray about it. You know, I've been doing this work, and nothing's happening. But she was like, did you pray about it? And I had to sit down, and I thought to myself, oh, no, I hadn't prayed. I was doing works. I was grinding the wheel that would help me to get to the goal that I wanted, but I hadn't prayed about it. But at that point, I not only began to pray that I would be able to go on this trip, I prayed for everyone that was going on this trip. I prayed for the people that we would encounter, the lives that we would touch. I started to pray for transportation, getting there. And my prayers stopped being so selfish and about what I wanted. I had to get a new perspective, and that prayer time was allowing me to have a new perspective. I hadn't really tried it for myself. Now, as an adult looking back, I definitely see that, like, that's part of the process, that you have to, for yourself, unselfishly pray God's will over the situation. Because if we trust God enough to give him our situations, we are saying, God, I do trust you. But when we do all the work here on earth, we can tend to spin our wheels. Instead, I stopped praying for things that I wanted, but I start to pray the desires of my heart. But not just the desires of my heart. I began to pray, God, what is your will for me? What do you want for me? Because if we believe and trust in God that his will is perfect, then we don't have as much. We're still human, so that's why I say we don't have as much reluctancy to say, God, I trust you completely. Because sometimes that can be scary. This was a time that I specifically started praying a part of the Lord's Prayer. In Matthew 6, 9 through 10, it says, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And don't worry, we're going to touch back more on the Lord's Prayer in a little bit. But what the difference was for me from all the other times that I prayed the Lord's Prayer, even though this was the first prayer that a lot of people are taught, but the difference this time was I specifically prayed for God's will. While this was my foundational moment with prayer, I want to take a dive into what the Word of God says about that prayer. Not about that prayer in particularly, but about prayer. In Acts 3, you guys may have heard a story about a lame man that was at the gate beautiful, and he was begging for money. He was persistent in this. He knew that he needed something, and money was what he thought he needed. He didn't receive money that he thought he needed, though. Peter says down in the 6th verse, silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise up and walk. And if you read, if I remember correctly in that story, this man had been there for a long time. He had been sitting there begging while people were going into the temple. Through our prayers, God gives us what we need, but not always what we want. And sometimes as humans in our fleshly bodies, we're like, but I want this. And God was like, God says, it's not about what you want. It's about what you need. It's about the sustenance that you need, not just to get you through this moment, but through the time that I have you here on earth. In order to receive the answers to his needs, he had to take action. He had to get up, even though he had never been able to do that before. And a lot of times as humans, if someone asks us to do something that we've never done before, we're like, well, I don't know how to do that. I can't do that. I'm not smart enough. And I'm not good enough. I'm not fast enough. I can't do that. If he had allowed doubt to form, if he would allow the doubt that was formed from his previous experiences to keep him from trying to get up, he would have missed the miracle. He would have missed what God was doing in his life. He asked for money to meet his current needs, but God gave him a permanent solution. And if we skip down to the 9th and 10th verse, it says, when all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Sometimes the prayers that we pray, the things that we go through, the experiences that we have are not only for ourselves, but they're for other people. Someone needs to see the miracle in your life so that they can say, wow, well, if God did it for them, he could probably do it for me. Or maybe I'll just test and see. You know, if he can do it for you, he can do it for me. Carrie reminded me this week to think about the ways that prayer has changed my perspective. And I hadn't thought in this way. And I told her, I'm like, I'm grateful that you said that because I do have more experiences where God has literally changed my heart, changed my mind about people and situations. I have a friend that something really negative happened to by someone that's close to me. And when I would hear their name, when I hear things that they were doing, pure anger would rise up in me. Fury, chills down my spine. And knowing these things, continued to keep bitterness and hurt and pain in my heart for something that didn't actually happen to me. Not to belittle it, but it didn't even happen to me. But the feelings and the emotions that I was having, led me to some really unkind thoughts and things that were in my head. For years, I couldn't let it go. And one day, I tried to get in contact with them, and they didn't respond. But that was a good thing, because I wasn't ready. My heart was still full of hurt, frustration, anger. I was angry with them. I was angry with the adults that were around them that knew that these things were going on. And even when I would even hear their names, like chills would go up my spine. But it was at that point that I began to pray for them. It was at that point where I began to pray for their healing. I would pray that God would fill in all the holes and hurt in their heart. My prayer at one time was, Lord, get them, I'll be honest. Lord, pay them back with the severity that they hurt other people. And honestly, that was my prayer. It was more like a get even prayer. And I don't know how many of you guys may have had prayers like that and what God thinks when he's sitting up there listening to our prayers. Like, do they really think that I'm, the Bible talks about not repaying evil for evil. Do they really think that I'm gonna go? There are consequences to actions. And who knows, this person may have or may have not suffered consequences for their actions. But like I said, I just wonder what God thinks about when we pray those crazy prayers like, Lord, get them or get even with them. But my whole perspective changed of that situation when I began to pray for their healing, when I began to pray for the healing of everyone that was involved. And then when I would hear their name, instead of that anger and fury and hurt that would rise up, more prayers would rise up. When I would hear their name, I knew that I needed to intercede for them. And at that time, the prayer changed me. It changed the perspective in my mind about how I felt about them. I no longer had those hurt feelings, those angry feelings in my heart. So I was glad that at that point in that situation, that God changed my heart and changed my mind about that situation. As some of you know, I love to garden. And I'm already imagining winter crops and next summer's crops and how I can expand more. And those who are around me, they know. Either I'm trying to pawn off vegetables on them or plants or asking for advice for this new climate that I'm very much not familiar with. I not only want to garden and to prepare things for myself, but for my family and for those around me to also see the blessings and feel the blessings that God gives us and that are very sustainable for right now in this time. I remember telling my friends like 10 plus years ago how I wanted to have a big garden. I wanted to own a home. I wanted to live off grid and several other homesteading dreams and goals that I desired. And each time I would get excited about what was gonna happen. And each time my anxiety would heighten because my dreams were big. My goal, what I wanted was big. And I would frantically start trying to make moves on my own. I was filled with anxious anxiety. And I don't know if anyone has ever felt like anxious anxiety, but that also caused me like unnecessary mental anguish because I would fester on it and I would try to figure it out. But each time my thoughts and my conversations weren't enough. My talking to other people and telling God what I wanted left me continuing to live in my rental. I watched a lot of garden shows. I still do. A lot of home building shows. I still do. And off-grid living shows, which I still do. Part of what I didn't do was ask and wait. I didn't stop to listen or to, you know, consult with God about what my plans were. I didn't say, God, this is what I want. This is what I desire. I was telling God, I'm going to have this. And that comes from a culture of like just saying what you want and thinking that God is just going to magically drop it down in your lap. And so I'm like, God, I want this. God, I want that. This is going to happen. It's going to look like this. But I, like I said, I didn't ask and wait, listening to God's plan for the whole ordeal. Prayer once again at this point began to shift my perspective. As I continued to pray the desires of my heart, because let me tell you, there's nothing bad about praying the desires of your heart. Okay, but a part that we miss is that we don't talk to God about it. We tell him, this is what I want, this is when I want it. By this time, a lot of people set goals and they're like, okay, I'm gonna go to college, I'm gonna graduate at this time, I'm gonna get married at this age, I'm gonna own a car or a house at this time, I'm going to have kids at this time, which is great. That's all great to set goals and work hard to achieve them, but we can't forget to seek God's face and his will for what he has for our life. I was praying my heart's desires, and as I continued to do that, I also began to pray unselfishly. Instead of the I want, I would say, God, this is my desire. I really want to tap into you to find out what your plan is with my life. Because I know that you are not just interested in what I'm going to do, but you are interested in the desires of my heart. I began to explain that this wasn't just the desires of my heart, but the desires for my ministry. And some people may look at me and they're like, okay, well, giving away potatoes, giving away corn to your neighbor may not be ministry, but everything that we do can be ministry, helping others. And that is, like I said, I have watched that my whole entire life. My family will, you know, give the shirts off their backs to help other people. And so that's what's ingrained in me. I still dreamt about what my house would look like, how my garden would be set up, how I'd fight off all the critters out here, Y'all, did Uncle Raymond, you did not tell me all the critters that are out here, and how to get away from them. And I'm learning that you can't. I'm also learning that I'm so afraid of everything. And so even in my desires, there's still some things that I'm learning. There's still, yes, it's the desires of my heart. And yes, I do believe, I don't believe, I know that God is blessing me to be able to use the desires of my heart to bless others. But y'all, these critters out here, my goodness. I was watering last night and I saw two critters run up the side of the house. I think they were skinks, so I'm not as afraid of them, but I still don't want to touch them. Y'all keep praying for me because part of this whole gardening and homesteading thing means critters. So I've been talking to Carrie a lot about how to, I don't know, avoid them, even though I know that it's not possible. So as I mentioned before, the difference from my prayer telling God what I wanted shift to showing him the desires of my heart and asking for his perfect will to be done. And guess what? Leaving it there. Because if we trust God enough to give him the desires of our heart, I guarantee you, it may not look the way you imagined it exactly in your head, but he will do it if it's part of his plan. And if we seek and believe that God is going to do what he says he's going to do, then we can trust and we can leave it there. I had to say, God, I trust you and I know you have the best plans for me. This is another moment where this shift left me with a personal shift. I no longer had the mountain of anxiety that I had before when I thought, because everything felt so big. You know, Roy and I came here from Colorado. The cost of living is a lot different. So looking at houses and property in Colorado is a lot bigger than it is out here. And so me trying to do things within my own self, making my own plan, it was way too big. I wasn't going to be able to achieve it. But when I left it there and trusted God to do it, that anxious anxiety shifted to hopeful peace. God gave me peace to trust him, peace to know that he has a plan. We often also do this. We spend time like I did in my 20s asking and asking and asking for what I thought I wanted or what we think we need instead of seeking God's face for his plans for us all. We ask instead of seeking his perfect plan. Prayer is amazing when we take the right approach. Luke 11:9 says, "And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened to you." There are some key words that stick out to me in that verse though. I see ask, I see seek, and I see knock. All of those words are verbs. And before moving here, I was a teacher at a small Christian school, and we learned a verb song. We learned that verbs are an action word, and we say a verb is a word, it's an action word. If you can do it, it's a verb. And so whenever a kid would come up to me and say, "Miss Michael, what's a verb?" I'd yell out to the class, "Y'all, what's a verb?" And then they would sing the song. So if we think of that in the course of our prayers, and letting God know what our desires are. It's not just about sitting and waiting. There are some actions that we have to take. The purpose of prayer is not for receiving, but for relationship. Let me say that again so everybody hears it. The purpose of prayer is not for receiving something. It's for a relationship. A personal relationship with God is our privilege that was given to us by Jesus and made possible through the Spirit. A relationship can't happen without communication. A marriage is a good example of that. When you have that communication, when you don't have the communication, it destroys the connection. Praying is about having a conversation in the context of a relationship with God, both speaking to him, that means giving him our desires, even some of our plans, because we tend to be guilty of that. Okay, let me stop saying we. Okay, this is all about me, and these are my issues. So if you understand them because you've had a lot of questions too, then yeah. So I'm gonna stop saying we, or try to stop saying we. Our relationship with God which is built through baptism and prayer, and our relationship with others built through communion and worship, is the foundation of the kingdom. So I want to take some time to go through some practical steps to prayer. This isn't just for people that don't have a prayer life at all. This is for people who may have felt like they have hit the brick wall of prayer. God, I've prayed all the prayers. I pray for my family, praying for the neighborhood. What else? What else do I pray about? Is that fair? No. Okay. So some keys to prayer, and these things you may not do every time you pray, but this could be a starter. This could be choose three, and that's what you do for this prayer time. Have a conversation with God. It doesn't, you know, I grew up hearing a lot of preachers and pastors pray certain types of ways. And heard worship leaders pray in certain types of ways. And I don't pray like that. But there have been times in my life where I pray, where I told God, like, well, I can't pray like the bishop you see on TV or like the pastor or even like my mom, you know. But it's about having a conversation with God. Just the same way that you may call your best friend and say, hey, what's going on? Like, today was hard. It was stressful, but I'm back home. I got some coffee. I got some tea. I think I'll be okay. That's the same way you can talk to God. He's right beside you. And you can just be like, God, like, today was really stressful. And sometimes I'll be like, I know you know because you were there. That's the kind of conversations I have with God where it's very conversational. Another thing you can do is spend time alone in his presence. You know, for me, when I'm out watering my garden, usually I have my phone with me all the time. Message me, pretty quick to respond most of the time. But when I'm out watering my garden, it's time for me to just stop. Get the media out of my face, get the TV, get the YouTube videos, all the other videos and things that I watch while I'm trying to learn cool things. And just, I listen to the crickets. There's so many new sounds that I hear out here compared to in Colorado or even in Oregon. And so I can hear different types of frogs. I don't know if the skinks make noise. Do they? Do skinks make noise? But the birds and the frogs and the bugs, and it feels so close. And I often take times to pray, and I've prayed this probably since I was in college, that God would speak to me through nature because I love to be out in nature. And God reveals, my favorite place is the ocean. Let's, you know, I love the mountains and ticks and all that stuff. That's gross. I've had a couple on me and I've second-guessed my choices in coming out here. Like I said, my uncle and my aunt are here and I feel like they should have given me like all the bug list and critter list. I have never seen an armadillo in person, but I see them smashed on the road all the time. I didn't know there were armadillos in Oregon. I mean, in Arkansas. But when I'm in my garden and I'm looking at the fruits and the vegetables develop, literally sometimes there's changes in days. And I'm like, God, I didn't do that. I didn't paint that tomato. I didn't paint that pepper. I didn't, like, you did this. And even more right now because I'm so new to this environment. You know, I don't know the soil, so I made raised beds. And I'm like, well, what nutrients do I put in there? But I said, God, I'm just going to see what you do this year. So spend time quiet in his presence. Let him talk to you. Let him show you things. And in that quiet time, give him time to speak to you. Give him time to talk back. Because a relationship isn't one-sided. I really, really despise one-sided relationships. You know, if someone only calls you when something bad is happening, when they're in crisis, when they need something, and then you go to start to say, and they're like, okay, bye, I gotta go. One of my closest friends is very guilty of this. and I've talked to her about it, so I don't feel bad about saying it. She has many kids, so, and all you guys that are parents know, when your kids start screaming or something's going on, you gotta stop, drop, and roll. But that was hard for me to understand because I was like, wait a minute, you spent the last 20 minutes just talking. I've been listening, I've been trying to understand. And then when I get ready to talk, it's like, okay, bye. We do that with God. We often do that. I am going to say we there, but I do that with God where it's like, God, We need healing in our families. We need healing in our bodies. We need protection. We need finances. We need a home. We need a car. We need. Or I want. And they were like, okay, bye. Talk to you later. Bye. And you're like, okay, but wait, one more thing. I really need this. Okay, bye. But we never stop. We never stop to listen, to see what God is saying. Because he could be saying something about the situation that you've already prayed about. But we're too busy. I'm too busy to stop. And it's just hard for me to sit down and be quiet also. Another way to practice prayer is to pray for things you're grateful for. And that's one thing that I feel like I'm pretty good about. Because I'm not the person that wakes up at 4:30 in the morning and I get my notebook and my Bible and my scented candle and I go in my closet and I have prayer time. I'm not knocking anybody who does that, but that's not me. My prayer life is a continual thing. I wake up in the morning and I'm like, oh, thank you, Lord. And that may be all I say right now, but my first words that I'm giving is a praise and a thanks to God. You know, I may be driving down the street and see someone in need, and I'll pray every time a ambulance goes by, pray. When I'm confused, Lord, I'm confused. It may be 5 seconds that I'm taking at that moment, but it's a continual thing. And whether you are a get up really early in the morning and have your prayer time and lay prostrate before the Lord and do all those things, that is great. Put me on your prayer list. But I like to do a continual thing because, and I think I mentioned it last week, that prayer and worship are like an intravenous tube being put in our arm. You know, sometimes we may get a big bolus of, you know, maybe potassium or whatever you may be lacking. You may get a big bolus of that. But there's some things, had the experience with someone getting potassium. It took forever. Forever. I mean, it was like this much liquid. But it had to slowly drip in. And I look at prayer and worship that way. Especially in this season of my life where I need that continual drip. I need that continual connection with God because there's a lot of stuff. Everybody has a lot of stuff going on in their lives, in their mental minds, in their physical bodies, in the lives of their family. So pray for things that you're grateful for. Pray, you know, God, thank you that, well, I don't know that I'm saying this, but thank you for the Son, Jesus. You know, also another thing, not used to this temperature, not used to it at all. But I am grateful because things that I couldn't grow in Colorado, guess what, grow really well here because there's so much sun and the warm season is longer. So pray for things that you're grateful for. Lord, thank you for waking me up this morning. Thank you for giving me a mind to want to serve you. Thank you for my family. You might not even like your family, but Lord, thank you for my family because they're there. Thank you that you have provided not just physical family, but we've been talking for a long time about family of choice. You know, thank you for my vehicle. Thank you that I can get to the store. Thank you that when I want to go to the store, I can go and I can get what I want, not just what I need. And that is something to be grateful for because that's not everyone's story. So pray for things that you are grateful for. As I've been saying, pray that God's perfect will be done in your life. In those times of silence, ask God, like, what is your plan for me? What is your desire for me? Because if we ask, he will give it to us. He will tell us what those are. And that was a prayer that I prayed a lot prior to moving out here. Because, you know, I have a wonderful family out here that welcomed us down here. But I was like, God, what am I doing in Arkansas? Like, well, and even some of my family in Oregon and friends, they're like, Arkansas? What's in Arkansas? I mean, but they kind of said that when I moved to Colorado, too. But they were just like, that's so random. And I was like, no, it's not random. It's God ordained and it's God appointed. And I am here, my husband and I are here for a specific reason at this time. But I know that because I sought his face. I say, and even before moving out here, I said, God, whatever you want me to do, in Arkansas, wherever that may be, I'm going to say yes. The opportunities that you bring towards me, I'm going to say yes, which is hard because sometimes God asks us to do things that are uncomfortable. Another thing, ask for forgiveness for areas that you may be struggling with. And sometimes we're like, no, I'm living all right. Like, I'm doing what I got to do. But there are always areas that we can ask God for forgiveness or for healing. Like I was telling the story before about the hurt and the bitterness in my heart on account of someone else. That was blocking me hearing what God desires for me. Make your request known to God. Pray for others and their needs. Sometimes you're just like, I can't. I can't with myself. My situation may seem too big, too much. Pray for others. Pray that God will provide for them. Pray for God to give them ministry opportunities. Pray that God would heal their heart in their broken places. Pray the word of God. You know, we talked about the Lord's Prayer. That's scripture in the Bible. And I had a preacher that told me once, praying the word back to God, he said it was like a reminder to God, like, God, remember what you said that you were going to do? Remember what your plan was? But he was like, it's not really for God because he knows and is all, but it's a reminder for you. To dwell on the promises of God, dwell on the things that he wants for you and the desires of his heart. So we're going to go back a little bit, rekindle the conversation about the Lord's Prayer. We're going to break it down. Each part of the Lord's Prayer serves as a different purpose and why it was the example that Jesus gave to the disciples on how to pray. Hey, it's there. Look at that. So, and a lot of people were taught this as kids, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Okay, so we were taught this, but let's break it down a little bit. That first line, our Father who art in heaven, that is recognizing the holiness and the power of God. Let you know who you're talking to. I'm not just praying out into the universe. I'm not putting it out there and trying to manifest it. No, I am praying specifically to the one who I know can fix and work these situations out. Your kingdom come. Surrendering your agenda. And at some point in your life, you will have to surrender your agenda. It's not my will, but yours be done. Give us this day. We're asking for his provisions. And as we learned about the man that was at the gate beautiful, it always doesn't come in the way that we expect. And forgive us our trespasses, asking for forgiveness. As we forgive those, accepting forgiveness requires giving forgiveness. If we hold on to the things that others have done and don't realize that we are too ourselves are human, and we also need forgiveness, that will also is a block. Lead us not into temptation. We're asking for protection and perseverance. God knows our struggles. He knows in the areas that we are weak. And in this part of the prayer is where we're praying like, God, keep me away. Keep it away from me. You know, so for that protection and perseverance. For yours is the kingdom. We end with the same heart of worship and of awe as we started with, praying to an awesome and loving and forgiving and patient God. You may not do all of these things, the list or, you know, with the Lord's Prayer. You may not do all of this every time you pray. And as I mentioned before, your prayer doesn't have to be like what you grew up hearing or what you even hear today. Or what you've been told your prayers should sound like. It doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to happen at a particular time. But the key point is to pray. Keep the communication lines fluid and open. I told you guys that I'm an all-day prayer. Do it all the time. But begin to use these steps to gain a new perspective on prayer. Sometimes the prayers that we pray, are, like I mentioned, are not just for us. They may be for others. They may be a learning experience. When we seek God's face to find out what his plans are, our prayers take on a new approach, a new perspective. With the prayer about the person who hurt someone close to me, remember, anxious anxiety turned into peaceful hope when I heard that person's name. I no longer had that built up in me. That shift that I prayed, and I shifted the way I prayed, which caused an internal shift in the way I experience or perceive things. This new perspective changes the way that we pray, moving from request or selfish desire to seeking God's plan and desire for our life, and praying that his will be done. Are you ready to change your perspective?